Today's Shi'as Masechta Zvachim Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Mem Tesam Bey is the last line. Dava Alon Behekish, Choyzeb Malam Bekal V'Choymer. As we discussed in our previous Shi'ar, it's clear that as far as Kachim is concerned, and actually in all of the cases that we have discussed and will continue discussing in our Shi'ar today, where the Gemara is going to be trying to analyze if certain process of limud is or isn't acceptable, it's only regarding kachim. So we learned, dava halam behekish, ein achoyz malam behekish. A double hekish is unacceptable when we speak about kachim. And as we also understood in our previous shiur, there's a machloikus Rav and Ravina, what is the source for that rule. The Gemara at the end of our shiur yesterday, more extensively, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach today, is going to be speaking about many different combinations of different types of limudim, and the Gemara is going to try to see if these are situations that are or aren't acceptable as far as a derech halimud. So says the Gemara, Dara Havalon Behekish. If first we have a Hekish, Chayz Malam Kavachoymer, what will be the halacha if we have a Kavachoymer afterwards? Says the Gemara, Mitatanam Berev Shmal. We learned the Gemara earlier when I'm Sechta on Daf Mem Aleph, where Tanam Berev Shmal first was Makish, Sire Avod Zara, to Parakoy Mashiach. So that's a Hekish. Then followed it up with a Kal V'Chomer from Sire Avodah Zarah to Par Yom Kippurim. So we see that this is an acceptable style of learning. Ask the Gemara, Davalam Behekish, Ma'ash Yilam Binyan Av. What would be the halacha if we have a Hekish followed by a Binyan Av? And as we begin this piece of Gemara, the Karen Oira helps frame this piece of Gemara and actually frame the entire sugya that we're going to be learning. At the end of the previous year, the Gemara, in a moment, is going to refer to that piece of Gemara. We spoke about a case where we had a Hekish followed by Gzeira Shava. And actually, the Gemara proved, that a Hekish followed by Gzeira Shava is unacceptable by Kachim. So says the Karen Ira, if we had to think to ourselves, and we had to grade different types of limudim, we would perhaps suggest that a gzeirah shava is a stronger form of a derech halimud than a binyan av. Binyan av is based purely on logic. Two concepts that are similar is a binyan av. On the other hand, a gzeirah shava is psukim in the Torah. So if we proved, and we'll repeat it in a moment, that a Hekish followed by a Gzeirah Shava is unacceptable, it should seem that a Hekish followed by a Binyan Av is not acceptable. Yet we're about to learn that that's not the case. Why? Says the Karen Ayur in understanding the Gemara. It's not the way we grade, or it's not the way we understand Limudim that will or won't make the difference if it's an acceptable or not acceptable form of Limud. Rather, the way we're going to come to the conclusion, the way the Gemara is going to come to the conclusion, is based on evidence that we have in Halacha, not based on what we think. And therefore, Amar Bimya, if that's the case, what we learned yesterday, the Torah mentions both by a Chatos and by an Oila, by a Chatos, by an Osham, that the Halacha is that they have to be brought B'tzof and Hazara. And the Gemara said that why don't we have a Hekish between Oila and Chatos, and then Gzeirah Shava between Chatos and Osham, and that should teach us that lesson. Why does the Torah have to teach it to us separately by Osham? So the Gemara says, from here we see that a Hekish followed by Gzeirah Shava is unacceptable. But now, says the Gemara, we should have a different reason why the Torah shouldn't have to say the words that tells the Halacha that Osham is brought but softened. Why don't we say the taste of Binyan Av Mechatos? Why don't we say that Chatos is a carbon? Chatos is Kachay Kadoshim. Osham is a carbon, which is Kachay Kachim. So if Chatos requires Tzofen, we should have a binyan av, that automatically should be sold the halacha by Asham as well. Lamai hilchsa kasvei. Why did the Torah have to write that the Asham is brought in the tzofen? Lav lememra. Isn't the lesson of this Gemara? The davar halama behekish, that's something that's learned by a hekish, and a chayze malama binyan av. So you see, it seems that a binyan av followed by a hekish followed by binyan av is not a legitimate form of limud. Says the Gemara, let's think about it. Lutamech, teisim binyan av ma'oilo. Let's skip the hekish, says the Gemara. Let's skip the gzeir shava. Why don't we just have a very simple binyan av? Oil is kodesh hakadoshim. Oil clearly has to be brought by tzofen, as we've been learning in our all of our sugyas. The pasuk that teaches us, the source pasuk that teaches us that a carbon kodesh hakadoshim has to be brought by tzofen is the carbon oil. And why don't we just make a binyan av connecting the halacha of an asham to the halacha of an oil and say that just like an oil has to be brought by tzofen, so too an asham. My tam loyasi. Why don't we just have that very simple binyan av? And there, and that will be the way we'll know that the Oshem comes b'tzofen. Mishum de ikla mifrak, because there will be a question on that binyan av. Because mala oil shekain kolom. Oil we know is a carbon which is completely burnt. Oshem is not. And therefore, there's a dissimilarity, and that dissimilarity prevents us from connecting the halachas. Says the Gemara, chatas nami ikla mifrak. You have the same type of situation between a chatos and the Oshem. Because a chatish, as we know, mal chatos sheke mechaperis a chai v'krisis. A chatis is mechapel chai v'krisis. Osham is not. And therefore, it's not that a binyan av is not acceptable. Well, it's not even that a binyan av is not acceptable after a hekish. Here, the binyan av doesn't work. Because the chatis is mechapel on a kares aveira, and the osham is not. So here, as we begin the next piece of Gemara, there's actually a machlokes rishonim how to understand this next piece of Gemara. Rashi understands this next piece of Gemara as nothing to do with the previous Gemara. Since we've begun to discuss binyan avs, so the Gemara, Rashi says, begins to try to analyze, maybe there are binyan avs that the Torah could have relied on here that would have avoided the need for psukim. The Shita disagrees with Rashi. The Shita says that actually this piece of Gemara is a continuation of the previous Gemara, where we've just dismissed that there is no binyan av to teach us the halacha of tzofet, and therefore it can't serve as a proof one way or the other regarding what is the halacha, what a hekesh should a binyan av. Here's the Gemara says, why are we so quick to dismiss that there is no binyan av? Indeed, says the Gemara, chadam echadalai asya. As the Gemara just said, we can't learn the halacha of an Oshem from an Oila. We can't learn the halacha of an Oshem from a Chatos. But maybe we could, the Torah, instead of saying, by an Oila, by a Chatos, by an Oshem, that Tzofen is required, or alluding to it at least, the Torah should have just said, by two of those three cases, that Tzofen is required, and we would have been able to extrapolate on our own that so is the din by the third type of carbon. Let's read the Gemara again. Chod mechadal asya. We can't learn the halacha with a direct one-on-one relationship between Oshem and Oila and Chatos and Oila. However, asked the Gemara, and again, this is the way Rashi learns, this is the way we're going to explain. Tasi chad metarti. Why should the Torah have to mention it in all three cases? The Torah should have mentioned it only if two, and we would have figured out the third. Asked the Gemara, what are you trying to say? Mehei tasi. Which is the one that you would want to eliminate? Would you want to say, like, nichta rechmana oila? The Torah should not tell us by carbon oila that it has to be brought with tzofen. The tesi mechatas for Hashem. And we would learn the halacha of an oila from the halachas of chatas for Hashem. Ask the Mar, that wouldn't work. That binyan av wouldn't work. Because ma'ala halach shekei mechaprin. A carbon mechatas is mechaprin on aveira, as we just learned. A carbon Hashem is mechaprin on aveira. Different type of aveira. A carbon oila is not mechaprin on aveiras. As the Mefarshim point out, and we spoke about it earlier in our Masechta, a carbon oila is not considered a carbon in the category of a mechaper. Rather, a carbon oila is considered a carbon in the category of a doiren, a gift to Hashem. And therefore, it's not in the same category. So that wouldn't be a way to understand. Continues the Gemara. Le'nichta rachmana b'chatos, should the Torah omit chatos, and we should therefore learn the halacha of chatos from oila and asham, B'teisi mehanach, says, well, that too would work. Ma'alahalach, shekein zecharim. The halacha is that a carbon osham must be from a male animal. A carbon oila must be from a male animal. Whereas a carbon chatos can be brought from a female. So I saw the mefarshim ask a great question. You have to be careful how you say over the question. When we speak about people, so we can understand that there's a difference between a male and a female. Male are mechuyiv mitzvaseishes man groma. Male are mechuyiv in Talmud Torah. Women are not. But when we speak about animals, what's the difference between a male animal and a female animal? That the Gemara says that since a chatos could come from a female, and they can't come from females, that makes them different. That makes them more kadosh. Does that make a difference if the animal you use is a male or a female for carbon? So I saw two turutim to this question. One turut I saw to this question is indeed the fact that most karbonis may only come from a male species and a chatos can come from a female species is an indication of a kula. Because otherwise, why shouldn't it only be able to come like a male, from a male species like most karbonis? One way of understanding. Another way of understanding, and it's very much in line with the way we ask the question, is of course there's no difference in kedusha between a male animal and a female animal. But the fact that the Torah insists that an oil and asham has to come from a zachar, and a chatz could come from a nekeva, that's clearly an indication that they're different. What does a binyan av try to do? And this speaks to the heart of the matter. What does a binyan av try to do? It tries to make them one unit. That they're all similar. Says the Gemara, the fact that the chatas could come from a nekeva and the oil and the oshim cannot shows that they can't be grouped into one unit. And therefore, we can't have a binyan av. Continues the Gemara, lo nichta ba'osham. So perhaps the Torah shouldn't have written this halacha ba'osham. The taste of mehanach, we should learn the halacha of an osham from a combination of chatas and oil. That wouldn't work either. Ma'alahanach. There's a concept of oilus tzibur. There's a concept of chatas tzibur. There's never osham brought betzibur. So the way we now are up to, the Gemara really hasn't proven what is the halacha about a hekesh followed by binyan av. So now the Gemara goes on to another type of a situation. Again, as we've been saying from the beginning of this year, trying to analyze if this would or wouldn't be a legitimate mahalach, a legitimate approach by Kachim. Ask the Gemara, Dov Alam B'Gzer Shava. What if the halacha we begin with Gzer Shava? Ma'ash Yelam B'Hekesh. Can it be followed by Hekesh? Amra Papa. The Pasuk says, V'zoish Torah Zavach HaShlamim Im Al Toida. L'madnu L'Toida Shabom Ramaisa. Since the Torah here is makish, shlomim to taida, and since the halacha is that a carbon shlomim could come from your meiser, so too can your taida come from your meiser. What does it mean that it could come from meiser? As we've been discussing, there's an obligation to bring meiser sheni, either the meiser sheni itself or its proceeds to Yerushalayim, and the Gemara is going to prove in a moment that the carbon shlomim could be bought from those proceeds. And now the Gemara is saying, so too would be the halacha by a carbon toida. However, Rashi makes a very important point. Rashi says, when the Gemara here says that you could use Maisa funds to buy a carbon toida, doesn't mean that if somebody obligates himself to bring a carbon toida, and now he needs money to buy it, and he has Maisa money, he could go buy it. That would not be acceptable, at least l'chatchila for sure. Rather, explains Rashi, what it means is, if when the person accepted upon himself the obligation to bring a carbon toida, he says that I'm going to pay for that carbon toida for Maisa funds, that's acceptable. And as the Rishonim point out, a number of opinions. By carbon toida, the halacha is that if you sell a chatchila up front, that you're going to be using Maisa funds for the toida, it's perfectly acceptable. If you didn't say so, you shouldn't, but b'diyevid, it's fine. By other karbonis, it's not even acceptable b'diyevid. And the reason the mefarshim give is because ma'isa funds, there's no time limitations to what you could use it. You bring the ma'isa funds, you have to use them in Yerushalayim, but there's no statute of limitations. Whereas a carbon chatas, has a statute of limitations, Yoyim V'Laylam. Carbon Shlomim, which we're about to speak about in a second, the Paiskim that say, not only as Gemara is going to prove, you may use Maisa funds to buy Shlomim, but there are those that suggest that you should specifically use Maisa funds, that's called V'Samachta L'fnei Hashem Elokecha, by using the Maisa funds to buy, not just go to a restaurant in Yerushalayim and eat a nice dinner, but use them to buy Carbon Shlomim. And indeed, ask the Gemara, how do we know that that Shlomim could come from Maisa funds? Mid the Ashkecha, Shlomim the Osir Mimaisa. Ask the Gemara, Shlomim Gufay Menolam. And how do we know indeed that Shlomim could come from Maisa funds? The Ksiv, Sham Sham. There's a Gzer Shava between Maisir, there's a Gzer Shava between Maisir and Shlomim. And I'll read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, by Maiser, by Shlomim, the Zavach to Shlomim, the Chal to Shom, the word Shom, the Samach to Fnei Shem Lekecha, and the Pasuk says, by Maiser, the Chal to Fnei Shem Lekecha, the Mokoim, Ashi Yishka, Yivchal Shak Shemoy Shom, Master the Gant Chaturosh Vitzrecha, because Bekar Vatzimcha, Vitzoy Necho, Laman, Tilma, Liras, Hashem Lekecha, Kol Ayamim. So we have a Gzereshava. So what do we have here? First we have a Gzereshava connecting Shlomim to Maiser, and then it's followed by a hekesh between shlomim and toida. So our question, if a gzer shava followed by hekesh is acceptable or not, is answered. Absolutely. Says the Gemara, Amalei mazut b'rei demari l'ravina, why are you accepting this answer? Maisa dogen chulim ba'almahu. Let's think about it. We've been saying that all of these limitations on is it or is it not an acceptable derech halimut is limited to kachim. But maiser is not kachim. So how are we speaking about, how are we using this as a source to teach us what will be the halacha by kachim when maiser is not kachim? Amar loymet kodesh, amar lamet kodesh. So he responds, yes. What happens here? We start with maiser, which is not kodesh. We learn Shlomim from Maiser, which is Kodesh. We learn Toida from Shlomim, which is also Kodesh. So Rapapa holds the fact that the second and third parts of this Limud are Kodesh, is considered a Kodesh Limud. And therefore we have a ride that Gzer Shava followed by Hekesh is acceptable. He holds that as soon as there's a Chulin aspect in the chain, it's no longer a kachim situation, and we don't have an answer to our question. And the Gemara is going to reference this back in a moment, later in the shiur. Before we go further, here we learned a very interesting din, that somebody has Maiser funds available to him. He could buy with those Maiser funds, at least certainly if he sets off front, to fulfill his obligation to bring a karmen taida. So many paiskim use this to talk about a question that we've mentioned earlier. So the halach is arba tzrichim lahoydus. There are four different types of situation where somebody has to bring a karmen toida. We've spoken previously in the shiurim, is a karmen toida chayva or rishus? Does that mean that somebody who experienced one of the reasons to bring a karmen toida obligated to bring a karmen toida? Or if he experienced one of these situations, he may bring a karmen toida. So many Paiskim, including the Max Avram, a great-great-grandfather of mine, says that this is a riot to Rishus. Because if it was a Chayv, you couldn't use Maisa funds to fulfill your obligations. It's no different than nowadays, Purim, you have to give Matanis Lav Yoinim. Yeah, many people give Max Ashekel, Erev Purim, Tanis Esther. You're not allowed to use Maisa money for that, because that's an obligation. You can't fulfill your obligations with Maisa. Here too, if it was a Chayv, there wouldn't be, you could not use Maisa funds. Interesting Chassam Sofer, there are many people who have a Nusach Sfard, are very familiar with this chapter in Tilim, this parak in Tilim, Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv, Ki Lo'olam Chazdoi, Yoy Megula Hashem, Asher Golo Miyatzor, Mizrach Mimarev, and we speak there about, and David HaMelech, in that parak of Tehillim, speaks about the people who have to hoydus l'Hashem, have to thank Hashem because He saved them. And then the reason people daven Nusach Sfar in fact say it Friday afternoon is after a person experienced an entire work week with all sorts of episodes, He thanks Hashem that it came out well. He says, if you look in that capital, what happens is first David HaMelech speaks about people who were sick and people who were in prison and people who went through the Yam, people who went through the Midbar, that all of them, B'tzalahem, they were in danger, V'yitzakul Hashem, they damned Hashem, V'yitzim, and he saved them. Says Nachsam Sofer, those people are obligated to bring the Korban Torah. But somebody who just took a trip and came back from overseas, he wasn't necessarily in danger. By him, the obligation to bring the Korban Torah is optional. Interesting, some cipher. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, a very interesting question. If we're saying now that the Korban Torah is a Korban Nedava, when we say Birchas HaGoymel, it's our ability, it's the same as they brought a Korban Torah. We came here Korban Torah, so we say Birchas HaGoymel. So the question is, so therefore, you should say the Birchas HaGoymel, which is the Minhag, standing. Because a Korban you had to bring, we learned in our Masechta many times, standing. Furthermore, Birchas HaGoymel should not be said at night, because a Korban may not be brought at night. What is the big question that the Pais can discuss? If we're saying now, the halach is clearly this way, the Korban Torah is not allowed to be brought on Shabbos. So how could somebody say Birchas HaGoymel on Shabbos? You're not allowed to bring a Korban Nedava on Shabbos. You're not allowed to bring a Korban Torah on Shabbos. You shouldn't be allowed to say Birchas HaGoymel on Shabbos. One teretz that I saw, I don't really understand it that well, is that the halach is that let's say you have a Korban that you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos. One of the Korbanos isn't to be brought on Shabbos. And somebody brought that Korban on Shabbos. The halacha is that once they started bringing back with the Korban, the Rambam says they should finish. Otherwise, you'll end up with a disqualified Korban. So once somebody goes to the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, he should say to Birchas HaGoymel. Who says you should do it? Just don't start. So obviously, you have to explain that even though the Birchas HaGoymel is like a Korban, it's not exactly like a Korban. Although, there's a very interesting Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes the Maram Mintz that a katan shouldn't say Birchas HaGoymel. Why not? He says, because why is the nusach of the Birchas HaGoymel? HaGoymel l'chayovim toivis, people who are maybe chayiv, people who are maybe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if they examine them, would not be so happy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu still did toivis, he was nice to them. Somebody who's a katan can't be in the parish of chayovim. And the halach is, you're not allowed to be mishana. If Chazal established a specific nusach habracha, you can't change that nusach. So since a katan can't say a goyim l'chayom toivis, the Magen Avraham says they shouldn't say it at all. Davni Nezer disagrees. Davni Nezer could say, even a katan could say it, because when he says a goyim l'chayom toivis, he isn't speaking about himself. He's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there is a God in the world who's goyim l'chayom, that there are people in the world who are chayovim, not him. Because he's still a cotton. But there are people in the world who are chayavim, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goymel toivis to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does toivis to them. However, the halacha, the minig is, the Shari Tshuva says this, the Mechzalazah says this, and as I said, the Magen Avraham says this, the minig is the katanim don't say birchas HaGoymel. Continues the Gemara. Next question. Davar halam b'gzer shava. If we have something that we learn through Gzeir Shava, Ma'ashi Yom of Gzeir Shava, is a double Gzeir Shava acceptable? On Ram Mechama. So just a word of introduction. We just spoke about a Korban Torah. When a Korban Torah was brought, it was brought with 20 Esroinim of flour. 10 of the Esroinim were used to bake Chalas. And the other 10 were used to bake 30 loaves, 10 of each type. One is Rikikin. Rikikin are wafers that are smeared with oil. One is revuka. Revuka is flour that's scalded in hot water and then baked. And the other is chalas, which are regular chalas that are made out of flour and oil. And as I said, the other one is the matzahs. So we have 10 matzahs made out of 10 esroinim and the 30 loaves that are made out of these different ways. The question that the Braisa we're about to quote focuses on is what type of flour? We know the Torah many times speaks about soilus. Soilus is what we always used to teach in yeshiva, fine flour, high quality flour. Tanya, the pasuk says, "Soilus murvekes." So the Torah clearly teaches us, "Lamadin lervuka shabas soilus." The Torah clearly indicates that when we make the revuka, we have to use soilus flour. Chalas menayin. How do we know that so too is the halacha by chalas that we have to use soilus flour? It says the Gemara, "Tamaloy mechalas chalas." There's a gzeirah shava between revuka, where the Torah uses the words chalos, and the Torah uses the words chalos when it describes the chalos matzahs. So we make a gzeirah shav that the chalos too should be soilus. Rikikim minayim. How do we know that the rikik can have to be from flour? Tamalayim and matzahs. We have a gzeirah shav between when the Torah says rikike matzahs and chalos matzahs. So what do we have here? A double gzeirah shav. Rikike matzahs, chalos matzahs, and then we had chalos chalos. So we have a raya that a double gzeirah shava is acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Ravina, says Ravina to him, "Memai de matzis mechalis." Who says that the gzeirah shava is a gzeirah shava between rikikin and chalos, and therefore we'll have a gzeirah shava? Dema mafatana gomer. Maybe we should learn the Torah speaks about mafatana, and there it says clearly also soilus. So it's not a gzeir shava built on another gzeir shava. It's a totally independent gzeir shava. If it's a totally independent gzeir shava, therefore, I don't have to build a double gzeir shava, and we have no raya, what will be the halacha by a double gzeir shava. Interesting to note, ask the Sfasemis, and very important Sfasemis, it goes to a question that we all should be thinking about. The Gemara is saying that perhaps the halacha of Rikikin is learned from Mafatanor, not learned from Chalis. As the Sasemis, so maybe everything is learned from Mafatanor. Who says that we should learn the first thing, Revuka from Chalis from Revuka? Maybe we should learn Chalis also from Mafatanor. Says the Sasemis. Where we know that there's a Gzeirah Shava, we're not allowed to make up our own Gzeirah Shava. Another done Gzeirah Shava, Mkain Lomda, Mirabai. So there is a Gzeirah Shava between these two words. We can't say, well, don't use this Gzeirah Shava, make another Gzeirah Shava. We have no right to do that. But the only Gzeirah Shava that we know exists, do we have a question where to apply it? Says the Gemara. So if so, our Gzeirah Shava fell away. El Amarava, how do we know the halach of Derek Gzeirah Shava? Tanya, Kirba Yaprishiva Haitzi. The halach by Parakai Mashiach, we know that the blood is sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash. And the animal, the par, is taken out to be burnt by the Beis HaDeshen. Says the Gemara, Melamed Shemitzer Sholem. The halacha is that it should be carried out in one piece. That's where most Rishonim learn. Yochel Yisrafen Sholem. That when you burn it, the Beis HaDeshen, it should be in one big piece. Says the Gemara, Nemekan. The Torah says by the Parakai Mashiach, Roshu Krof. V'nem Lahalan, the Torah says by the Karban Oilo, Roshu Krof. The halach is that the carbon oil before it's burnt on the mizbeach is chopped up. Afkan alidei nituach. Although the Rishonim point out that the nituach of the parakai mashiach is not exactly identical to the nituach of the carbon oil, because the carbon oil of the halachas, we'll discuss it later in the masechta, is dissected into six pieces. Here there's no halacha that has to be specifically dissected into six pieces, but there is a halacha of nituach im lahalan. So continues the Gemara. If we're learning from a carbon oiler, we should say behefshit. There's a special din that part of the procedure of the carbon oiler is that it has to be skinned. Afkan, perhaps parakai mashiach also requires hefshit. Tamaloymer bekibra parasha. Ask me, what does that mean? My tamudu, what does that mean? What does it have to do with the halacha of hefshit? Omra pepper, shame shapirish bekirbay. We certainly don't separate the perish, the waste of the karparam and the srafim from the rest of the animal. It doesn't make any sense, because it's nice to separate the waste and burn it separately. Certainly it should be kept together. Kach b'sara b'ayrin. So from here we see that a parakai mashiach doesn't go under the hefshit procedure. Before we go further, the Sfasemis says that since the Torah so emphasizes the pirshoy of the Parakai Mashiach, he says, whereas by all other kabbonis, the halach is that if the pirshoy separates itself from the oila, since the pirshoy is the waste, it's very disgusting, there would be no halach of mi'ila. Here the Torah speaks about it in such strong terms, there's mi'ila even on the perish of a paraklai Mashiach. V'tanya Rebbe Omer, nema kan or bosu perish, v'nemar lahalon, by the paraklai Mashiach, and it says by the par Yom Kippurim, or bosu b'serah, ma lahalon yidei netuach shloi behefshed, just like we've proven by the paraklai Mashiach, there is netuach, but there is no hefshed, af kan yidei netuach shloi behefshed. So we have here double gzer shava. First we have a gzer shava between the oila and the parakai Mashiach. Then we have a gzer shava between parakai Mashiach and par Yom Kippurim. And the Gemara is teaching us that it's a legitimate limud. Continues the Gemara, analyzing different situations. Dava shalom the gzer shava. If we start with gzer shava, ma shalom the kavachaymer. Can a kavachaymer follow a gzer shava? So the more we can make the following kavachaymer. A double hekish, that's how we started the sugya, is totally unacceptable. Why? As we learned in the previous year, Imirova, Imirovina, we had a machlokes on that Mem Tesema Beis, what is the source for this halacha? Either what Rava taught us or what Ravina taught us. Still the halacha is Milam b'kavachoymer. A hekish followed by a kavachoymer is acceptable. Where do we see that it's acceptable? The Tanur Bei Rishmal, I refer to it at the beginning of the Shir. A Gemara Masech on Dafnem Aleph, where Rishmal says that first we have a Gzer Shavar between Parakai Mashiach and Sar Avod Zara, and then we have a Kavachayim between Sar Avod Zara and Par Yom Kippur. So we see that a Hekish followed by a Kavachayimer is acceptable. Again, a ma hekish enim malam behekish. A double hekish is not acceptable. Imid derava, imid deravina. Malam be kavachaymer. A hekish followed by kavachaymer is acceptable, as Rabbi Shmuel taught us, with the ton of Shmuel. There is shava hamalamedus behekish. Then certainly, if we have a situation that we referred to earlier, the first we had a gzeres shava shlomim tamaisa, followed by a hekish. And the Gemara said, Repapa taught us that it's acceptable. And that's why we learned that the Toida could come from Maisa. So Gzer Shava hamalamedes behekish. A Gzer Shava, which is followed by Hekish, that we learned is acceptable. And it didn't shetem of the Kavachaymer. Certainly a Gzer Shava that's followed by Kavachaymer will be acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Hanicha, but this entire piece of Gemara is based on accepting what Rapapa said. Based on accepting that we can have a Gzeres Shava followed by a Hekish. Shlomim to Mais is the Gzeres Shava. Shlomim to Taida is the Hekish. But if you recall, we didn't learn it so long ago, we learned that Amin Aleph, that limud was challenged. Because it was challenged that it's not a Kotshim limud, because Mais is not limud. It's not Kotshim. So that's the Gemara. Hanicha, if we follow Rapapa's approach, Hanich Lamanda Islay Rapapa, fine. However, ask the Gemara, El Lamanda Leslay Rapapa. The Mandamanda doesn't view Rapapa. Mayak Lamemer, we don't have a proof. Ella Kavachaymer, we make the following Kavachaymer. Uma Hekish and Malam the Hekish. Again, says the Gemara. A double Hekish is unacceptable. How do we know the double Hekish is unacceptable? Because we learned Imid the Rava, Imid the Ravina in yesterday's Shir. Malamid the Kavachaymer. A kavachaymer, that's a hekish followed by a kavachaymer, is acceptable. How do we know? The ton of Rabbi Shmuel. Because Rabbi Shmuel taught us, I refer to it twice today. So gzeres shava hamalamed gzeres shava chaverta. So certainly a double gzeres shava, which is acceptable. How do we know that double gzeres shava is acceptable? But the Rabbi Bechama, the case that we spoke about by the requirement to bring bring all the different types of loaves from soilus, Midran Bachama, and it didn't shetama b'kavachaymer. So certainly a kavachaymer, which is stronger, if a double gzeres shava is acceptable, certainly a gzeres shava followed by a kavachaymer is acceptable, because a kavachaymer is a stronger type of limud, because it could follow a hekish, and a gzeres shava cannot follow a hekish. So if a gzeres shava could follow a gzeres shava, certainly a kavachaymer could follow a gzeres shava. This is basic logic. Mefarshim asked, before we go further, the Gemara is trying to bring a raya that a double gzeres shava works. Where do we see a double gzeres shava works? From Rami Bachama. Ask the Mefarshim, if you recall, on the bottom of the Amid, the Gemara wasn't so sure, because the Gemara says, who says that that's the gzeres shava? Maybe the gzeres shava is from Mafatana. So I asked the Mefarshim, you're saying that Rami Bacham is a Raya, that a double Gzeres Shava works. Well, the Gemara asked a question on that. So I saw two answers. One answer is that the Gemara is only using Rami Bacham, that's how we began the Gemara. But even though that Gemara was actually refuted, but then we had another Raya about a double Gzeres Shava, about the Karev and the Perev, about the Hefshit by all of the Kabbalists. So the Gemara uses the words Rami Bacham, it just means that piece of Gemara. It doesn't mean the beginning of the piece of Gemara, it means the end of the piece of Gemara. It's one teretz I saw. Another teretz that I saw is as follows. Indeed, when we learned the Gemara about Silas, and we had the Gemara's question, the Gemara was left with Ravina's question, that who says that that's a case of double Gzeres Shava? It's a great question. But what happened afterwards? Then the Gemara brought a different subject altogether to prove that a double Gzeres Shava is acceptable. The case that we just mentioned about the Hefshit. Once we know from that case that a double Gzeres Shava Ksedim Afarshim is acceptable, we don't have to accept Ravina's objection. Because we could say it's a double Gzeres Shava. So Rami Bacham is proven to be correct, and now the Gemara could say from Rami Bacham we learned that a double Gzeres Shava is acceptable. Ask the Gemara another situation. Why is going to be the Halacha? You have first a Gzeres Shava and then a Binyan Av. What will be the Halacha? Says Mar Teiku. I don't know. Ask them another question. If you start with a Kav Chomer, Mashi Yomad Bekish. Can a Kav Chomer follow a Hekish? Can a Hekish follow Kav Chomer? Says the Gemara. Following logic. We can make the following Kav Chomer. Omar Gzeres Shava, She'ena Lameida Behekish. If you have a Hekish and then you have a Gzeres Shava, it's unacceptable. What's the Raya? The last piece of Gemara we learned yesterday, the first piece of Gemara that we learned today, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that there's a Hekish between Oila and Chatos, and then there's a Gzeres Shava between Osham and Chatos, but that wasn't good enough, said the Gemara at the end of the Shia yesterday, to teach us that the Osham should be B'tzofen. So we see that a Hekish followed by a Gzeres Shava is not acceptable. A Hekish followed by a Gzeres Shava is not acceptable. The halacha is melamed behekish midrav papa. The halacha is that as we just spoke about it a moment ago, as Rav Papa said, that a Hekish following a Gzeres Shava is acceptable. So again, to repeat, a Gzeres Shava following a Hekish is not good. A Hekish following a Gzeres Shava is good. Kav Chomer, halamim a Hekish. So certainly a Kav Chomer which can follow a Hekish. A Gzeres Shava can't follow a Hekish. It can only precede a Hekish. A Kav Chomer which can succeed a Hekish with the Tana Ber Bishmol, and it didn't, Shiyam a Hekish, certainly the halacha ought to be that a Kav Chomer followed by a Hekish will be acceptable. But ask the Gemara again. This whole limit of Rav Papa, that you have first a Gzeres Shava and then a Hekish, and it's acceptable, is not unanimous. Hanich l'man d'slid Rav Papa. El l'man d'slid Rav Papa, because he said it's not referring to Kodshim. Because we spoke about Meiser, Meik l'meimah, so our proof falls away. And therefore, says the Gemara, we don't have a proof. We have a kasha, we remain with a teiku, but what will be the halacha by a kav chomer followed by a hekish? Ask the Gemara another question. Dov alam v'kav chomer. If we have a kav chomer, mashu yom v'gzeres shava. Can we have a gzeres shava follow kav chomer? Says the Gemara, we can make the following kav chomer to answer a question. We can make the following kav chomer to answer a question. Ma gzeres shava she'en l'meida b'hekish. With Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught us that a Gzeres Shava may not follow a Hekish. Melamed b'Gzeres Shava. A double Gzeres Shava is acceptable, as Rami Bacham taught us. Kav Chomer halomed the Hekish. A Kav Chomer that could follow a Hekish. With a ton of Berib Shmuel. And it didn't tell him b'Gzeres Shava. If a Gzeres Shava, if a Hekish could follow a Gzeres Shava, certainly a Kav Chomer could follow a Gzeres Shava. Ask the Gemara. Well, another question. Dover halom of a kav chomer. If you have a kav chomer, mashiyam of a kav chomer. In other words, the Gemara's question is, what is the halacha regarding a double kav chomer? Says the Gemara the following teretz. Omag zeh shavish enel meida b'hekish. A gzer shava cannot follow a hekish. Midr Rabbi Yochanan. Melamed b'kal v'chaymer. We just finished saying that a gzer shava can follow a kal v'chaymer. So kal v'chaymer halameidim a hekish. A kal v'chaymer that could follow a hekish, as Rabbi Shmuel taught us, and it didn't shiema b'kal v'chaymer. Certainly one kal v'chaymer could follow another kal v'chaymer. Says the Gemara, v'zeh kal v'chaymer ben shekal v'chaymer. Says the Gemara, this logic is weak. So Rashi gives one pshat, and Tosfos gives a different pshat. Rashi's pshat is that we have three kal v'chaymers. We have the two kal v'chaymers that we're discussing, and now we'll have a third kal v'chaymer that teaches us that these two kal v'chaymers are acceptable. So says Rashi, we're asking about a double kal v'chaymer, but it really turns out to be a triple kal v'chaymer. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos says that this is a perfect example of circular reasoning. You want to talk about kal v'chaymer after kal v'chaymer, and you use a kal v'chaymer to bring a raya. Ella, this will be the kal v'chaymer. Or ma hekish and elayim behekish. A double hekish is not acceptable. Why? Even the ravi, the ravina that we've been speaking about. Melamed the kal v'chaymer, a kal v'chaymer that follows a hekish is acceptable. Kal v'chaymer halomim behekish. So, with the title of the Beis Shmuel, and it did Shavish Shmuel. If a Kavachimer could follow a Hekish, certainly a Kavachimer could follow a Kavachimer. Zer Kavachimer ben Kavachimer, which is an acceptable form of Liman. Interesting to point out that I saw the Mefarshim say a very important klal. When they speak about Kavachimer, the truth of the matter is, why is it called a Kavachimer? It should be called a Chimer Vakal. Could just like a Kavachimer teaches us, that if in a lenient situation the halacha is so, certainly in a stringent situation, it goes the other way too. That chaim v'kal, if there's a leniency in a serious situation, the leniency should apply in the lenient situation. So why did the Torah call it a kal v'chaymer, not a chaim v'kal? So Mefarshim say, from here we see that a kal v'chaymer is not just logic. A kal v'chaymer has to be logic that's irrefutable. And therefore, the Torah is teaching us, it's not what you call it, it's what the Torah calls it. The Torah calls it a kal v'chaymer. Why does the Torah call it a kal v'chaymer? Because we have a precedent for kal v'chaymer that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Miriam was afflicted with tzaras, if a father would get angry, she would have to be quarantined, certainly when Hashem. So it's not just that it was human logic. We base it on what the Torah says. So too, kal v'chaymer is not just what we say, it's what the Torah says is a kal v'chaymer. To the degree that I saw the Rebbe Chanan quotes Reb Chaim Brisker, that not everybody could say a kal v'chaymer. Why not? A kal v'chaymer is logic. So if your logic is sound, you should be able to say a kal v'chaymer. The answer is your logic doesn't only have to be sound. It has to be completely irrefutable from every area in halacha in the Torah. So only somebody who's a Talmud Chacham, who's familiar with all areas of halacha, may say a kal v'chaymer.